Good morning. Yesterday, Sharon Haskell of Tikva Chadasha, her name is Sharon, I think it was Sharon Haskell of Tikva Chadasha, and Boaz Toporovsky of Yesh Atid proposed a bill in the Knesset which would legalize poker games here in the state of Israel, allowing for Israel to host poker tournaments. I don't know, is that something that we really want here in the state of Israel? But just as a footnote or an interesting aside, in 2015, Netanyahu proposed an idea of opening up a casino in Eilat, making gambling legal in Eilat to encourage tourism. But that never got off the ground. But again, is that something that we want here in the state of Israel? And this yesterday's news comes on the heels of an interesting story. I don't know if you saw this, but there's a frum Jew, frum Yid involved in finance and investments by the name of Gershon Distenfeld, formerly of Bergenfield, which is right next to Teaneck. And now he lives in Hollywood, Florida with his family, recently moved there, who just won, I'm Amish a couple weeks ago, just won first place in the World Series of Poker, a prize of over $200,000. I wrote it down, $204,063, and will be giving the entire sum to Tzedakah. Last year, he came in eighth place and won over $125,000 and gave the entire sum to Tzedakah. So this was reported in the secular media, in the Jewish media in the United States, got a lot of attention. But is that something that a good Jewish boy should be doing? That's what we'll ask this morning. Is gambling kosher? By the way, just as a follow-up to this story, I saw online that this Gershon Distenfeld, who won this big pot, this big sum of money in the World Series of Poker, he sponsored some shiur. It was being sponsored by him, and it was printed that it was being sponsored with the money that he received from the tournament, with the tournament money. And then there were some rabbis who voiced opposition online. They said, is that really appropriate? Is that something that we want to advertise? Is that the messaging that we want to get across to our communities and to the young people in our communities? Is this behavior that we want to be praising? And it's one thing to take the money for the share. It's another thing to advertise that this is coming from his winnings from the tournament. So, well, right. And here in the state of Israel, of course, the Mifal HaPayis, the national lottery, uses that money, some of that money, and puts it back into the community. They have in every neighborhood buildings that have been built with the money from Israel's national lotto, schools, all sorts of different things, contests, all different things that they put back into the community. But is lotto permissible? How does the Torah, how does halacha view gambling in general? What about a lottery ticket? What about dreidel, right? Hanukkah is coming up and many people play dreidel, and they don't just play dreidel for fun, but they have a pot of money. They put money on the table. They play with real money or with chocolate coins, or as a kid, we used to play with raisins. Okay. What about dreidel? So that's our question this morning, is gambling kosher? And if you'll take a look at this, the first source on the source sheet, source number one, the Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin, which appears on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Bet at the bottom, the Mishnah teaches the following. The Mishnah is dealing with those individuals or categories of individuals who are invalid. They are pasul. They're disqualified from serving as witnesses and as dayanim, as judges. Right? Rashi makes the Kal Vachomer, like if they're invalid or if they're disqualified to serve as witnesses, kol shekein, dayan. All the more so they can't serve as a dayan. And that's a qualification to be a dayan. You have to be kosher to serve as a witness. But in any case, the Mishnah begins as follows, where I've underlined, Ve'elu hein ha-psulim. These are those who are disqualified, who are pasul from serving as witnesses or judges. Hamisachek bekubia, someone who plays dice, right? Kubia, cubes. Someone who rolls dice, someone who plays dice. Ve'amelave beribit, someone who extends a loan with interest, who lends with interest. Ve'amafriche yonim, someone who races pigeons. Now this too, pigeon racing is a type of gambling. The Gemara will go on later on and explain why the Mishnah has to teach both someone who plays dice and someone who bets on pigeon races. Okay. The Sochare Shvi'it, and someone who does business with Shvi'it, with the produce of the seventh year, with Shemitah produce. Okay. This is a Shemitah year, of course, and we've touched on this in the past, that you can't do commerce, you can't sell Shemitah produce. There's certain ways you can sell it. You know, you can give it as a gift, and you could pay someone for their time, or you can do what's called havla'a or hakafa. You can kind of, you know, sell someone a lulav for a higher price and include for free the etrog of Shvi. That's the Mishnah in Masechet Sukkah and the Gemara there. You can have your son or someone else sell it, but only minimal. You can do a type of minimal commerce. But someone who does business with Shvi'it also is invalid to serve as a witness. Now, obviously, we're concerned with this Misachek Bekubia. Okay? And then, just skipping to the end of the Mishnah, we have a statement from Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav Yehuda, Eimatai, when, meaning, when are these individuals, or specifically the dice player, the gambler, when is the gambler disqualified from serving as a witness? Ematai, when? Bizman she'en lahen omanut elahu. When he has some other job. Aval yesh lahen omanut shelohu k'sheirin. In other words, if he has no other job, if his sole income comes from gambling, then he is disqualified. However, aval yesh lahen omanut shelohu, if he has some other source of income, some other job, then he's kosher. We'll see what that means in a moment. Okay, or at least what the Gemara assumes that to mean. But Rashi bases this disqualification on a pasuk in Sefer Shmot, Perek Chav Gimel. I put it down here in source number 3. The pasuk says, "Al tashek yadcha im rashaliot ed chamas." Don't join your hand together with the wicked to be an evil witness. So the way Chazal understand that pasuk is these different things, and we'll see in a moment that maybe gambling is a form of theft. So don't join together with the rasha, who is a thief. Don't become a thief. That will invalidate you. That will disqualify you. Okay? That will prevent you from serving as a witness. And Rashi says, V'kol shekein dayan. Now, take a look at the Gemara there in source number 1. The Gemara has a machloket between Rami Bar Chama and Rav Sheshet as to why the gambler is disqualified. Rashi says it has to do with not joining together with the wicked, and if one is a gambler, he's considered wicked, and then he cannot serve as a aid, right? That's what the pasuk is teaching. If you're going to be wicked, you're going to hang out with the wicked, you're going to join together with, if you're going to be wicked, then you're going to be an evil witness. We're not going to let you serve as a witness. But what disqualifies the individual? What about gambling disqualifies the individual? So there's a machloka between Rami Bar Chama and Rav Sheshet. Okay? Here, take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara asks, Misachek bekubya maika avir. Someone who plays dice, what has he done? What has he done wrong to disqualify where literally, what does he do? My Kavid, what does he do? But what has he done that disqualifies him from serving as a witness? Amarabi Bar Chama Mishum Dehava Asmachta. Ah, according to Rami Bar Chama, the reason why he's disqualified is because gambling is called Asmachta. It's deemed Asmachta. The Asmachta lo kanya. And Asmachta is not a kinyan. It's not a binding type of transfer of property or of money. Okay, well, what is Asmachta? Asmachta literally can be translated to mean reliance, right? In modern Hebrew, if you're somech on someone, it means you rely on them. Okay, you lean on them, literally. But an Asmachta is a reliance. It's a type of agreement. It's hard to even call it an agreement, but it's a type of deal that you and I have, which is based on speculation, something speculative. Okay, if this happens, then I give you money, or if that happens, then you give me money. And Rashi gives a few examples from the Gemara and Masechet Bava Metzia and Bava Batra, where we have different examples of people entering into these type of agreements. Okay, but it's based on speculation. And the reason why Asmachta is not a kinyan, that's what the Gemara says here, Asmachta lo kanya, it's non-binding. It's a non-binding type of thing, is because no one wants to lose. And everyone thinks that they're going to win, right? And therefore, you could say that when I entered into this agreement with you, I never really meant to give up my money or to give up my possessions to you, because I was hoping that I would win. I entered into this transaction, this agreement, with a certain amount of confidence, with a certain amount of belief that I would win. And so therefore, when I lose and you take my money, right, you're taking my money unlawfully. And it's actually considered a type of theft. Take a look at Rashi on Asmachta here. Rashi says, "Hainu davar de'eino noten lo midato, ela somech al davar sheino." He's not giving it with his full dot, his full intent and knowledge and understanding. Rather, he's placing himself, he's somech al davar sheino, on something that may or may not happen. Because he's hoping that he's going to win, that he's going to be the winner, that that's going to be the outcome. Sometimes indeed he is the winner, but sometimes he's the loser. It's speculative. And Rashi says, "Lo kanya, why v'hava le ke'en gzeila biado." It's ke'en gzeila. It's like theft. It's avak gzeila. As we'll see, the Rishonim explained that it is a type of gzeila that is asur mi derabanan. It's a rabbinically prohibited type of theft. Because when we engage in a transaction, right, there has to be gmirat dat. There has to be full disclosure. Right? We all have to understand what we're getting ourselves into. Okay? You purchase land from me for a set amount. You have to know what that land includes, what's on that land, what's on that piece of property. And I have to divulge all that information to you. You purchase a silo from me with some sort of grain in it. Well, you have to know how much grain is in that silo. You can't just purchase a silo of grain. There could be nothing in it, or it could be full. So when we engage in a transaction, a business transaction in Jewish law, there has to be gemirat dat. You have to know what you're getting yourself into. And the problem with asmachta is it's speculative. It's like, if this happens, then you give me money. If that doesn't happen, then I give you money, right? Or if this happens, I give you money. If this happens, you give me money. But the losing party is always going to feel cheated, because they were hoping that they were going to win. They were confident that they were going to win. And that's the problem. That's asmachta. And that's why we say asmachta lo kanya. It's not a real kinyan. It's not a kinyan gamur. Because there is no intent. There is no full, wholehearted intent, because I'm hoping I'm going to win. Okay, since it's speculative, and that's what asmachta means. I'm relying on the fact, you know, that I'm going to win. Okay, I'm relying on the fact that the outcome will be in my favor. And when it isn't, you take the money. Even in, you know, in casinos, they talk about the house takes the money, right? Takes. What does it mean? Takes implies that I don't give it willfully. And so it's a type of theft. Okay? So that's the concern here. And that's, according to Rami Bar Chama, why gambling prevents one from serving as a witness. Because in a sense, he's a thief. Right? And the pasuk says, "Al tashet yad chaim rashaliot et chamas." Stay away from wickedness; otherwise, you're going to be a wicked. You're going to be a wicked ed, a wicked witness. Wicked witness has a ring to it. It's a good alliteration there. Yeah. So, because you're engaged in a type of theft. Now, Rav Sheshet has a different approach. Rav Sheshet says the following: Rav Sheshet Amar. Kolchi Agavna Lava Smachti says, no, that's not why gambling disqualifies an individual from serving as a witness or a judge. It has nothing to do with Asmachta. Rather, he writes, Ella Lefi She'eno Skin B'Yeshuvo Shel Olam. Wow. The individual is not involved in settling the world. He's not involved in settling the world. He's not a productive member of society. Now, what's wrong with that? Okay, you know, you're not a productive member of society. You could be doing better things with your time. But does that make you into an Eid Hamas? Does that make you into a Russia, right? Al teshet yad chaim Russia liot Eid Hamas. What's the problem there? So Rashi and others explain the problem is that because you are not involved in Yeshuvu Shalola, you're a no-goodnik. Because one is not involved in Yeshuvo Shalom, not a productive member of society, Rashi explains they are not b'kiyin b'tiv dinin umasa umatan. They're not involved in the laws of business transactions, which then will lead to theft. Okay? And he continues, einan yirechet, and they are not afraid of sin. They're not, they don't have yirat shamayim, yirat chet. Because they're not productive members of society and they're not engaged in worldly matters, so they don't know proper business etiquette, business ethics, and they don't have fear of sin. And the Meiri says something very similar. The Meiri, it's not on the sheets here, but he also says that by the fact that they're not productive members of society, they don't know what we would call today, right, in contemporary halacha, business halacha, or the halachot of the workplace, right? There's so many classes and books on the halachot of the workplace. So that's what Rashi and the Meiri say. The Meiri says that they also are fluent in lying. Again, they're not involved in being productive members of society, so they're just sitting around gambling, and they're lying, and they're cheating, and they're stealing. And the Meiri goes on to say they don't have concern for other people's property. Right, these are the guys that are just hanging out all day, playing dominoes, playing sheshbesh, you know, gambling, playing three-card Monty, as opposed to people that are doing something productive with their time. Okay. Now take a look at source number four. This is the Perush HaMishnah of the Rambam. In source number four, the Rambam, he waxes a little poetic. He adds to this idea of the problem of being an unproductive member of society. He says, the reason why, according to Rav Sheshet, someone who is a gambler is disqualified from serving as a witness is because he's not involved in this goal of being a productive member of society, literally settling the world. And the foundation of this, the kernel of this, is actually found in our Torah. He says that, according to the Rambam, and this is very consistent with the Rambam's worldview, with the Rambam's philosophy, a person in this world should be involved in two things. One of two things, he writes. O bechokhma, lashlim ba'et atzmo, o be'esek she'uilo, b'kiyum ha'olam, kigon omanut o mischar. A person should either be involved in acquiring wisdom for himself, meaning Torah study, or he should be involved in work, in becoming a productive member of society and working for a living. Okay, in some sort of business. Now, the Rambam would say even someone who's involved in a business has to dedicate time to Torah study. It's not one or the other, right? And the Rambam discusses this at length in his Hilchot Talmud Torah, as well as in other places as well. And he says, "Ve'ra'uy lema'et bazeh laharbot barishon." And he says, now he says, it's better to do less business and study more Torah. Kimo shamru hevei ma'at esek vasok ba'Torah. As the Mishnah says, you know, work a little bit and engage in Torah study. Okay? Without further elaboration, the Rambam, you know, explains that the problem is this person is not a productive member of society. He's not working for a living. He's not learning Torah. If he's not learning Torah full-time, at least let him work for a living. But this guy's not even working for a living. You know? At least let him listen to the Daf Yomi on his commute to work. But even that he's not doing. Okay? And as I said, according to Rashi and the Meiri, there are other concerns as well about unethical behavior because a person is not doing something productive. Like they say, idle hands, right? I don't think that's a Jewish statement, but in any case, the Gemara now asks, if you go back to the Gemara where I've underlined next, the Gemara asks, "My Beinaihu, what is the practical difference between the opinions of Rami Bar Chama, who says that it's like a type of theft, it's an asmacht, an asmacht lokanya, or Rav Sheshet, who says that it's because he's not involved in Yeshiva Shel Olam. L'may nafkamina, what's the practical difference? So the Gemara says, Ika b'inayhu, the Gemara, omanuto, or omanuta acharite. Okay, the practical difference would be, Ika b'inayhu, the Gemara, omanuta achariti. The practical difference would be if the gambler has learned another profession, meaning if he's not a full-time gambler. Okay? What does that mean? So if he's not a full-time gambler, so he's got another job and he just gambles recreationally, so then that solves the issue according to who? According to which opinion? Well, Rav Sheshet. We explained, Rashi was explaining Rav Sheshet. In other words, if he has some other job, then according to Rav Sheshet, he can still serve as a witness. Why? Because he is involved in Yeshuvu Shel Olam. He's not gambling full-time. He has a job. He's just gambling recreationally. However, if we say, like Rami Bar Chama, that the issue is asmachta, and asmachta lokani, it's a type of gzela, it's avak gzela, it's a rabbinic type of theft, then even if he has another job, that still doesn't address the concern. It's still theft, even if you have another type of job. And so according to Rami Bar Chama, he would still be prohibited from serving as a witness. He would still be disqualified. Okay, so that's what the Gemara is getting at. The Gemara says, what's the difference between these two opinions? The Gemara is playing ping pong. You know, the Gemara is trying to reconcile Rami Bar Chama with Rav Sheshet, right? So the Gemara says, what's the difference between the two opinions? The difference would be if the guy has a job, if he's learned a trade, if he has another job and gambling is not his sole profession, so then according to Rav Sheshet, it's not a problem because he is involved in Yeshuvu Shel Olam. Now the Gemara continues and tries to find support for Rav Sheshet from the Mishnah itself. Because what did Rabbi Yehuda say in the Mishnah? Eimatai, when is the person disqualified? Bizman she'en lahen omanut elahu, when he has no other job except for gambling. Aval yesh lahen omanut shelohu sheirin. So it sounds like Rav Sheshet's opinion is consistent with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in the Mishnah. And the Gemara asks about the opinion of the Chachamim. Is there a machlokas in the Mishnah, perhaps? Perhaps the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Yehuda? And do the Chachamim paskin like Rami Bar Chama? And is there a machlokas in the Mishnah? Or can you say that even according to the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, they paskin like Rav Sheshet? Like in many places, this Gemara is really left unresolved. And so we have a machloket. Machloket between Rami Bar Chama, who says the problem is a smachta, that it's a type of theft because I'm hoping that I'm going to win and he's hoping he's going to win. So when he takes my money, it's like ki'ilu, he's stealing my money. It's as Rashi says, ke'en gezeila biyado, where Rav Sheshet says the issue is he's not being a contributing member of society. And as we saw, the difference between the two opinions is what if he has another job? Okay, what if he has another job? So interestingly, many, many Rishonim, Paskin like Rav Sheshet, Tosfot, the Rosh, the Rif, the Ramban, the tour, they paskin like Rav Sheshet, that the issue is they don't consider this to be theft. The issue is yeshuvu shel olam, that the individual, the gambler, is not contributing to society. But if he has another job and he is contributing to society, so maybe that does not invalidate him. That does not disqualify him as a witness. According to these Rishonim, a guy who's, you know, has a job and supports his family, and he's a productive member of society, and once in a while he goes to Atlantic City or he goes to Las Vegas, according to many Rishonim, at least in theory, that would be okay, because we paskin like, according to many Rishonim, we paskin like Rav Sheshet. Again, there's machloket in the Gemara between Rami Bar Chama and Rav Sheshet. Rami Bar Chama says it's a type of theft. Rav Sheshet said he's not a contributing member of society. Well, if he has another job and he is a contributing member of society, maybe that would be okay. Tosfot has another caveat where he introduces that really the money needs to be on the table in order to avoid the issue of asmachta. That way everyone knows the money's on the table. It's not like I'm going to say, well, that money really belongs to me. To avoid any concern of theft, Rashi and others raise the issue of a certain expertise or skill, and assuming skill is not involved, if it's just the luck of the draw, I have no expectation to win, right? I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to accuse you of taking my money. However, if skill is involved, if I'm an expert poker player, according to Rashi and other Rishonim, maybe that's a problem. Because where there is skill involved, maybe you can say, like Rami Bar Chama, it's a smachta. I intended to win based on my skill as an expert card player. Okay? But as I said, it's a machloket with many Rishonim paskening like Rav Sheshet, that the concern is yeshuvo shel olam. The Rambam, however, here in source number 5, interestingly, in source number 5, the Rambam seems to say in his Hilchot Edut, source number 5, that the issue is yeshuvo shel olam. He seems to say that it's like Rav Sheshet. The Rambam seems to paskin like Rav Sheshet. Right? Someone who he's talking about, those who are disqualified to serve as witnesses. And he says, someone who plays dice, why? He can't serve if he has no other occupation, because then he's not involved in yeshuvo shel olam. He's a professional gambler, and professional gamblers are disqualified. But here he introduces avak gzeila. He gives other examples of gambling using shells. You know, they used to put things under shells, and shells or nutshells or rimonim, using pomegranate peels. Okay, like 3-card Monte, I suppose. And he continues with racing different types of things, like pigeons in the Mishnah. But the Mishnah is just giving an example. He says other animals, chayav, oaf, all different types of things. You know, nowadays they have horse races, dog races. Okay, back in the Rambam's day, they raced other types of things, maybe birds. But in any case, here it would seem that the Rambam paskins like Rav Sheshet. However, in source number 6, in Hilchot Gzeila Aveda, in the 6th chapter there, it sounds like the Rambam paskins like Rami Bar Chama. Hareze gezel midivrayim. He says that a gambler is prohibited from serving as a witness because he is in violation of a rabbinic type of theft. Here, we'll read the first couple lines. Hamisachkin bekubya ketzad. Right? What does it mean when the Mishnah says someone who's misachik bekubya, someone who plays dice, is invalid as a witness? He cannot serve, he's disqualified. Elu shemisachkin ba'atzim, o bitzurot, o ba'atzamot. They would use sticks or stones or different types of leaves or even bones, ukayotze behen and the like. Vosin tnai beinahem, shekol notzech et chaveru v'oto haschok, yikach mimenu kach v'kach. And they make deals, meaning they make a bet, they make a wager that if this is the outcome, this is what you're going to give me. And the Rambam writes, where I've underlined, harei ze gezel midivrehem. So it sounds like in Hilchot Edut, in the laws of witnesses, the Rambam paskins like Rav Sheshet, although he does introduce the concept of avak gzeila. However, in his Hilchot Gzeila Aveda, the Rambam paskins like Rami Bar Chama. So many explain that, yeah, the Rambam is machmir. The Gemara leaves it unresolved, and the Rambam accepts both opinions, lahalacha. Okay? Now, many times the Rambam takes one opinion, takes one side if there's a machloket, if the Gemara leaves it unresolved. In this particular case, it sounds like he paskins, he rules like both Rami Bar Chama and Rav Sheshet. And based on this, the Shulchan Aruch is machmir. And based on this, the Sfaradim who follow the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, Sfaradim are machmir. And so if you take a look at source number 7, this is the Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat Simen Shin Ayin. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, Yesh Devarim Sh'asru Chachamim Mishum Gezel. There are things that our sages prohibited because of theft. This is not a, it's not theft on a Torah level. It's a rabbinic type of theft. We said, it's asmachta. It's where I was hoping that I would win. I was sure that I would win. And you won the wager. You won the bet. You took my money. But I never wanted to give you my money. There's no gemira dat. It's ke'ein. It's ke'ein gezel biado. Okay? Ke'ein gezela biado. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, there are things that are prohibited because of gezel. Va'over aleihem hareze gazlan midivreihem. And someone who violates one of these things is in violation of a rabbinic type of prohibition of theft, rabbinic theft. Mafricha yonim, someone who races pigeons. Umesachkim bekubia, someone who rolls dice or any type of gambling. So the Shulchan Aruch, right, paskins like the Rambam in Hilchot Gzeilah, who paskins like Rami Bar Chama, that you cannot gamble because it's theft. Even if it's not your sole profession, right? Even if you're just doing it recreationally, if the concern is taking someone's money, which does not belong to you, a rabbinic type of theft, if it is indeed asmachta, if that's how you paskin, then there's no room for discussion even. Gambling, any type of gambling would be asur. And many Sfaradim paskin like the Shulchan Aruch. And that's how we'll see in a few moments, Rav Avadi Yosef paskins in a tshuva. Okay? Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see a tshuva in a moment where Rav Ovadia was asked about lottery tickets. Correct. He was asked about lotto. Okay? So the Shulchan Aruch is machmir. But then he, in Siv Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch records the opinion of the tour, right? Which is really the opinion of Rav Sheshet. That, well, maybe if it's not his primary profession, and since he's involved in Yeshuva Shalom, maybe we paskin like Rav Sheshet, that so long he's not a professional gambler, if he's only doing it recreationally, and that implies he's involved in Yeshuva Shel Olam. He is a productive member of society. He holds down a job. Okay, so we're not concerned for Yeshuva Shel Olam because he is involved in Yeshuva Shel Olam. Right? The Shulchan Aruch cites that other opinion. And he writes the following here in Seif Gimel. Yesh Misha Omer, there are those who say, it's not theft, someone who rolls the dice. Problem is he's involved, okay, in like in unproductive things. This is already he's invoking the Rambam in his Perush HaMishnah. Really, a person should be involved in Torah and productive things. Yeshuvo shel olam, chochma, as we said. V'chaku alav lomar she'enu pasul ela im kein ein lo amenut acheret. And as we saw, right, there is such an opinion that says that he's only disqualified from serving as a witness when he is not involved in Yeshuvo shel olam, when he has no other type of profession. But since he has another profession, he's only gambling recreationally, it's permitted. Okay? And then the Ramah here adds in the italics, the Rama writes, "Aval im yesh lo omanut acheret." If he does have another job, another profession, afilu misachek im Yisrael eno pasul. He's quoting the tour. And as I said, this is the opinion of Tosfos and the Rosh and the Rif and the Ramban. Many we've shown him that we paskin like Rav Sheshet, and so long as he has another job, he has some productive means of supporting himself. He's not a professional gambler. Even if he gambles against a Jew, that doesn't disqualify him. Ukvar pashata minhag. And the Rama writes the following, and this is a crucial line, and many poskim rely on this Rama. Again, at least Ashkenazi poskim from the Bnei Ashkenaz. The minhag has already been established. Kfar pashat haminhag, it's already proliferated. The custom has already proliferated to accept this svara achrona and to permit someone to gamble, again, so long as it's not his sole profession. He's not a professional gambler. Ve'ein pasul ela mi she'ein lo omanut elahu. And we only disqualify someone who has no other profession. He's a professional gambler and doesn't do anything else with the time, because then he's not involved in Yeshiva Shel Olam. So what the Ramah is saying is we've adopted the minhag according to Rav Sheshet. We paskin like Rav Sheshet. And that's the minhag that has become crystallized. That's the word I was looking for, crystallized. This is the psak or the minhag that's become crystallized. We allow one to gamble recreationally. Okay? And he's only disqualified if gambling is his sole profession. And so those who allow gambling, whether it's a lotto ticket, whether it's, you know, going to Atlantic City or Vegas, there might be other problems going to Atlantic City or Vegas or hanging out in casinos, as we'll see. But here in source number 8, the Mishnah Brura in Hilchot Shabbat doesn't like this, even for Ashkenazim. In other words, we said the Ashkenazim can rely on the Ramah, right? In fact, in his Chuvan, the topic, Rav Avadia, as he often does, quotes the famous line of the Chasam Sofer, Ubnei Ashkenaz, or Bnei Yisrael, Yotzim Biyad Ramah. Chasam Sofer, in speaking about, related to how the Ramah is so central to Ashkenazic practice, he says, he quotes the Pasuk, which describes how the Jewish people left Mitzrayim with an upper hand. Okay? Ubnei Yisrael, Yotzim Biyad Ramah. There it's with a hay, an upper hand, but Chasam Sofer has this play on words, Bnei Yisrael Yotzim Biyad Ramah, with an aleph. We follow the Ramah, Rabbi Moshe Isserlis. He's the one we find to be authoritative. So he paskins like Rav Sheshet. We can be lenient. We don't say it's theft. If you say it's theft, there's no way to get around it. You can't gamble. It's theft. It's a form of theft, right? It's only rabbinically prohibited, but it's a form of theft. It's avak gezel biado, avak gezel biado. If you paskin like Rav Sheshet, okay, you could say it's only recreational. If he's a professional gambler, if it's the only thing he does, okay, he's an oisvarf. He's a non-productive member of society. So we paskin like the Ramah. However, the Mishnah Berurah here in source number 8, this is interesting, this is about playing games on Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's not only it's prohibited to play games like this on Shabbos, because you can't engage in a business transaction on Shabbos. I don't want to get lost, but there's a whole discussion about certain types of games, like Monopoly, where there's money exchanged. Even if it's Monopoly money, it's some sort of bartering, some sort of masa umatan. Is that permitted on Shabbos? I don't want to get into that right now. You'll consult your local Orthodox rabbi. But the Mishnah Berurah is talking about playing games on Shabbos, and he says, these games, even during the week, you can't play them. Okay? So, and the Mishnah Berurah is speaking to, you know, the Bnei Ashkenaz. The Mishnah Berurah was living in Lithuania. He died in 1933. Chafetz Chaim, the Mishnah Berurah, dies in 1933. But even for Ashkenazim, he's machmir, it would seem, here in source number 8. The Kubya hu avak gezel midivrehem. He adopts the opinion of the Rambam, of the Shulchan Aruch. The opinion that we saw in the Gemara of Rabbi Chama, Rami Bar Chama, that it's called a type of gezel. It's avak gezela. It's a form of, it smacks of theft. The kubya hu avak gezel midivrehim. It's a rabbinic type of theft. She'en dato lahaknoto b'kinyan gamur. Because the individual who's giving up his money, who lost the bet, had no intent to give up his money. He's not doing it with a full heart. Okay, with gemira dav. It's not a kinyan gamur. U'lahachi asur av bechol. And the Mishmar says, therefore, even during the week, it's prohibited. Right? Even for seemingly Ashkenazim, who paskin like the Ramah. And that's what the Abiya Omer here in source number 9, Ravad Yosef writes as well, as I said. He says, well, the Ashkenazim follow the Ramah, but even still, even Ashkenazim who follow the Ramah, they really should be stringent in this matter. And he's asked about lotto tickets. Here, look at source number 9. This is a tshuva in the 7th chelek of Yabia Omer, 7th chelek of the Choshen Mishpat, Simen Vav. Nishalti ha'im mutar min hadin lishtatev b'kniat kartisei hagrala shel Mifal HaPayis. I was asked about purchasing lottery tickets of the Mifal HaPayis here in Israel. And he writes, Maskana didina shehasfaradim ve'idot ha-mizrach asur lahem lishtatev b'kniyat katisei mifal ha-payis. Okay. It's asur for Sfaradim to buy lotto tickets. That's how Rav Avadia paskins. Why? Because again, he believes that it's, he paskins like the Rambam, paskins like the Shulchan Aruch, like the Rambam, like Rambi Bar Chama. He believes that it's asmachta. Now, by the way, there are poskim that allow lotto tickets. They say maybe lotto tickets is different than gambling because with a lotto ticket, you know, there's no skill involved. You really have no intent to win. You're not actually thinking. It's not like a smachta where you're going in assuming you're going to win and therefore you're not going to give up your money. You purchase a lotto ticket knowing that it's just total chance. There's no skill involved. Rav Sternbach allows the purchase of a lotto ticket, as well as Rav Avram Shapira has an article in Tchumen, he allows lotto tickets, and other contemporary posts can allow the purchase of lotto tickets for other reasons. Okay, but Rav Avadia feels it's for Sfaradim, it's like gambling. And he, Kedarka Bakodesh is a long tshuva, I only gave you a few lines of it, but he paskins like the Shulchan Aruch, Marana Mechaber, who paskins like the Rambam, that it's a smachta, right? Like Rami Bar Chama. And then he continues and says there's another concern about betting on sports games which take place on Shabbos. So you are benefiting from Chilul Shabbos, which is a problem. You are assisting in their Chilul Shabbos, encouraging in their public Sabbath desecration, which is a problem. And you're part and parcel. It's siyu ala ovrei aveira. He writes, and he says even for Ashkenazim, he says the afla Ashkenazim yesh la asur baze. Rav Avadia writes even for Ashkenazim it's prohibited. Now it could mean it's prohibited because of what? Because of Shabbos desecration. You're betting on sports games that are taking place on Shabbos, or you could mean no, even Ashkenazim. Really, you see, like the Mishnah Berurah. Should paskin like Rami Bar Chama, like the Rambam, like the Shulchan Aruch, that it is a form of theft. So you could read that tshuva, the end of that tshuva, in one of two ways. That he's just speaking about Ashkenazim should be machmir because of possible Shabbos desecration, or no, they should be machmir because maybe it's also theft. Okay, so Rav Avadia is machmir. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he discusses things like bingo or also card games and things. And he writes that, yes, while technically for Ashkenazim, it's permissible. We paskin like the Ramah, who paskins like the Rishonim that rule like Rosh Hashanah. But nevertheless, he says these things like card games and bingo and gambling. He says, Heim dvarim muchu'arim. They're really ugly things. They're disgusting, detestable things. And really, one should stay away from them because it's Moshav Leitzim. So in other words, even if you want to paskin like Ramah, technically, as long as you're not a professional gambler, you have another job, you're involved in Yeshiva Shel Olam, maybe we paskin like Rav Sheshet, that's how the Ramah paskins, I'm Ashkenazi, I could be lenient. But the question is one of, beyond just the letter of the law, who are you hanging out with? Is this a productive use of your time? And who are you hanging out with? And certainly, you know, I've never been inside of a casino. I don't gamble. My father never gambled. My mother never gambled. My father only stepped foot into a casino to maybe make a special delivery. He's in the pickle business and sells all sorts of foods, the food service industry. And at least at one point, I had a lot of customers among the casinos in Atlantic City. Rav Moshe writes that, well, yes, technically, according to the letter of the law, the Ramah paskins like Rosh Hashet, paskins like the Rishonim that hold like Rosh Hashet, that so long as you're not a professional gambler, it's permitted to gamble, right? But do you really want to be playing these games and spending your time with a Moshav Leitzin? That's Rav Moshe. We'll end with a fascinating tshuva, or a piece from a fascinating tshuva, the very bottom of the page, source number 10. This is a tshuva of the Rivash. Rav Yitzchak Bar Sheshet. Interestingly, Rav Yitzchak Bar Sheshet, we had Rav Sheshet in the Gemara, so you'll see what he writes. Rav Yitzchak Bar Sheshet, he lived in Spain from 1326 to 1408. And this is a tshuva where he talks about a person taking an oath not to engage in gambling, or a whole community placing a whole ban. He speaks about a community, his community, where they placed a ban on all forms of gambling. And he writes, V'schog b'kubya, Hine yesh bo isura derabanan. He says he because he believes it is asur mi derabanan. It's avak gzela derabanan. It's a type of rabbinic theft. Kideita b'sanhedrin per example. Rare the Gemara that we saw as we have in Masechet Sanhedrin. Fafilur of Sheshet, and even according to Rav Sheshet, interesting. This is Yitzchak Bar Sheshet. So even according to Rav Sheshet, desirli hatam deleika asmachta bekubia, who holds that it's not a matter of asmachta, it's a matter of yeshuvu shalolam. Mikol makom, nevertheless, davar mechuar umituav mishukatsu. Gambling, even if you want to say that it's not theft, that's not the concern. The reason why Chazal prohibited a gambler from serving as a witness or a judge is because he's not a productive member of society, according to Rav Sheshet. Nevertheless, even according to that leaning opinion, where maybe if you have another job and you are a productive member of society, you can gamble recreationally. But it's something that's so disgusting and abominable, he writes. It's something that's ugly and abominable and disgusting. V'rabim chalim hipil v'atsumim kol harugav. Interesting. He cites a pasuk in Mishlei. Cites a pasuk in Mishlei in the seventh chapter there that says, many are those who she killed, she struck dead. Rabim chalim hipil v'atsumim kol harugav. And numerous are those who she killed. And he uses that pasuk in reference to gambling. So you say, well, maybe according to Rav Sheshet, it is permitted for someone to gamble so long as it's not as his sole profession. He's only doing it recreationally. He's having a little fun. He's blowing off steam. So here, Rav Yitzchak Bar Sheshet writes, Baruch Hashem, we made this cherem, we made this ban on gambling in our community already a number of years. And he says, even according to the opinion that may say it's mutter because it's not theft, so long as a person has another job and he is a contributing member of society. But how ugly and abominable and disgusting is this? And then he quotes this pasuk, which says that there's so many casualties, so many struck dead because of this. And certainly, you know, I think probably each and every one of us here has heard stories of, unfortunately, people that got addicted to gambling and destroyed their lives. I remember I was at once a conference on medical halacha with Rav Avraham, Dr. Rabbi Avraham Twersky Zatzal, who passed away not too long ago. Some of you may have heard him speak, have had the zechut to meet him. A tremendous, tremendous individual. Someone who dedicated his life to helping those struggling with addictions. And I once heard him speaking about different types of addiction, gambling addiction, internet addiction, addiction to pornography at a medical conference. And he recounted story after story of young people, B'nai Torah, B'nai Yeshiva, who completely destroyed their lives and their families. I mean, lives, you know, completely destroyed, families destroyed because of gambling addiction. So this is something that is very serious and should not be taken lightly. You know, when it comes to Chinese auctions in shuls or casino night in shuls, which in some places are permitted, even in the United States, if it's like for a nonprofit organization and it's not real gambling, or bingo nights in shuls, there are poskim that allow it if the money is going to tzedakah, okay? Where they're playing games in shuls, whether it's in a Chinese auction or they have game tables set up or it's a bingo. No, there are some poskim that don't like the behavior in general, but there's some poskim that allow it because it's not a smachta. If your hope is that the money's going to go to the shul, right? These game nights at shul, the hope is that the money is going to go to the house being the Beit Knesset, right? So there are poskim that permit it in such a case because they say there is no concern of asmachta whatsoever. So we're not concerned for the position of Rami Bar Chama and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and Rav Avadia, v'od, because it's not asmachta, because if the house does take your money, you're not crying, you stole my money, right? If you lose the wage or the bet, the game, in a sense, you're happy because the money is going to a good cause. So there are such poskim that allow these game nights for a shul, for a Jewish organization, when it is for charity, for tzedakah, etc. What about dreidel? So it's interesting. There are some opinions that are machmir. So yeah, maybe it's like a smachta. Although, you know, in if you look in Kabbalistic sources and in Hasidut, you see that there's all sorts of Kabbalistic significance imbued in playing the dreidel, the Sivivon. It has all sorts of deep symbolism and wisdom associated with it. So there are great Hasidic rebbes that defend the practice of playing dreidel or a Sivivon, spinning the top, even if there's money exchange. And some say that, you know, there are certain leniencies when it's within a family. We don't say asmachta. We're not concerned with this issue when the wagers are within the family. The money is on the table. I mentioned Tosfos, who says that so long as the money is on the table, then it's not really a concern of a smachta. And some poskim also mention that since it's such a small amount of money that's being exchanged, I don't know, by us we use gold coins. Those not real gold, obviously. The chocolate coins, the chocolate gelt. Right? So long as there's not actual money involved, or if it's a small amount of money, or it's just something symbolic like chocolate coins or raisins, then really, according to all poskim, it's not an issue. But as we saw together this morning, gambling is not a simple matter in halacha. And we'll see what happens with this proposal, this bill that was proposed in the Knesset yesterday to legalize poker here in the state of Israel and allow for poker tournaments here in the state of Israel. We'll see what happens. I don't think it's going to pass. I think there'll be a lot of opposition against it. I'm sorry. Well, so in that case, you might argue that it would be a michshol lifnei iver, or maybe not michshol lifnei iver on a Torah level, but siyu la ovrei avera. You are assisting people in violating some prohibition. You're making it available to them. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So again, Rashi says if there's skill involved, and if you're hoping that you are going to win and assuming you're going to win and not give up your money, you could argue that maybe there's a smachta involved. And that's Rami Bar Chama. That's the Rambam. That's the Shulchan Aruch. A smachta lo kanya. It's a type of theft. You know, no, just the opposite. If there's skill involved, then there is, then that's what Rashi says, and other Rishonim also. If there's skill involved, you are confident that you are going to win. And then when you lose, it's as if your opponent has taken your money, right? Against your will. It's a type of theft. It's an avak gzela derabona, as we saw this morning. Okay. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Take care.